about together at this point. It's not about me. Now, what we're going to grasp from this, hopefully, is first of all, it's all about Jesus. All the service that we do, everything that we do, it's all about Jesus. But we're also going to see in this that we serve Jesus by serving others. We put others before ourselves in everything that we do, in everything about our lives. We put other church members in the church and this community around us. We are here to serve as Jesus served. So as we begin today, let's look in the book of Matthew chapter 23 at verses 11 and 12. I hope you've already turned there this morning. I'm going to be moving fairly quickly. We've got a lot to look at and a lot of talk to talk about today. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, it says, "But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." Now, as we begin to look at this, this is totally different than what the world teaches us, isn't it? What the world teaches us is you better look out for yourself. You better put yourself on top. You better put yourself first and take care of yourself first and then everybody else. What Jesus teaches is totally opposite of that. That you put yourself last. That you make yourself the servant and you be willing to serve others. And that's what we're going to see today. The word servant occurs 57 times in the New Testament. The word serve occurs 58 times. Now, sometimes this is referring to a household servant who has a job to do, and it's talking about his role as a servant in the home. But many times it's talking about the Christian's role of service in the church. And folks, we are called to serve together as the body of Christ, as the family of God, as the bride of Christ, to be the church that He wants us to be. You know, too many church members today are looking out for themselves and no one else. And we need to change that in our lives if that's the direction that we're taking. We need to be willing to put others before ourselves. Certain members demand their own preferences, desires, and they want to have things done their way. We all kind of like that, don't we? We all kind of look at those kind of things. But folks, what we're going to realize is this. Joy for the Christian does not come in getting your own way. You may think it does. You may get a little satisfaction about it for the moment. But joy for the Christian comes in putting yourself last and serving others. And Tom Rainer has done some research, and he found some dominant behaviors in churches that are self-serving, churches that don't look out for others, that have put themselves first. And you know, we've been through some of these before. Some groups, sometimes as a church, as a whole, sometimes as individuals. And if we fit in any of these, we need to take a step back, take a look, get down on our knees and pray, and allow God to do something in our heart. But he found some dominant behaviors in churches that are self-serving. And the first one he mentions is worship wars. Worship wars. We get upset about the music. It's too loud. It's too soft. It's too fast. It's too slow. It's too contemporary. It's too traditional. And guys, we hear it all. Worship wars. Things change in the order of the service. And we don't know how to handle it. We don't know how to get through it, and anger and demands seem to come out of this. Number two was meetings. Too many meetings that accomplish absolutely nothing. Meetings to have meetings. Meetings about meetings that we need to have meetings. Yeah, you know, just meetings and too many of those. Program driven. Now programs are important in a church. But when a program becomes the end instead of the means to reach a ministry of some type for, or a purpose for Jesus Christ, a program to have a program is not good. A program with a purpose in the ministry is important. Facility focus. Get too focused on rooms. My room. The furniture. The way everything looks, Or in our case, how many ceiling tiles got knocked out this past week? We get focused in on the wrong thing sometimes, don't we? The budget becomes inward focused. It becomes more interested in the comfort of the members than the ministries of the church and the outreach of the church. Pastoral care, there are demands on by some members and that pastoral care take place in minor issues when there are major things going on that take time away from doing things that may have a real urgent matter about them. There's an entitlement, he says, number 7, an entitlement, which is a sense of deserving because of who you are. I've been a member here all my life. I give more than anybody else. And just on and on. I'm entitled because. Folks, none of us need that kind of attitude because we're here to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not a great concern about changing lives with the gospel, but getting upset about change when it makes us uncomfortable. Now, if we're honest, change is hard for just about any of us. Change is a difficult thing. Number 9, anger and hostility are constant with the church staff or with other members of the church. Number 10, there's an apathy about evangelism. There are few people that share their faith regularly. Folks, we've got to be outside these walls of the church, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with this lost and dying world. They need to hear. They need to know the love of Jesus Christ. They need to see that we are here to serve Jesus first of all. And by serving Jesus, we're serving them. So we're going to look at some scripture, hopefully, that's going to help us as we grow in some of these areas. So let's pick up in John chapter 13, verse 1. This is a familiar scripture to most of us. It says, John writes, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During the supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter.' Peter said to him, 'Never shall you wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you.' For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, so also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who has sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them.'" Now, Jesus was willing to serve. Now, most of us realize at this point that in this scripture, Jesus is taking on the role of the lowest servant in the home. The lowest servant in the home had the job when the guests came in, when the master came in, when people came into the house. His job was to wash their feet. And they walked just about everywhere they went. Their feet would get dirty in their sandals. His job was to wash their feet when they came into the home. Jesus did that for the disciples. He did that as an example for them to show them what it means to be a servant. Did you hear what he said? As I have washed your feet, as I have humbled myself to become the lowest servant in the home, you do the same thing. Y'all look excited right now. Y'all look like that just blessed your heart greatly. That you're excited about washing feet and taking on the form of the lowest servant. Jesus displayed humility here. Leonard Bernstein, the great conductor, was once asked, "What is the hardest instrument to play?" Without a twinge of hesitation, he replied, "Second fiddle." He said, "I can always find plenty of violinists, but to find one who will play second fiddle with as much enthusiasm or second French horn or second flute, now that's a problem. And if no one plays second fiddle, we have no harmony." And that's the way it is in the church. We all want to be served. We all want somebody to serve us. Well, I've got news for you, folks. Jesus has done that. And we're going to be talking about what He has done and how He has gone about doing it in just a few minutes. But He also calls for us to serve. For us not to always be the one that steps up to take the honor and the glory. But to be willing to be the lowest servant in the household. The disciples needed a lesson. They would get in that constant argument about who is the greatest. Who's going to get the greatest seat in heaven? Who's going to get to sit next to Jesus? And it was always, yeah, I'm the one. I'm going to be that one. I'm going to be the one. Folks, don't we all need this lesson that Jesus is giving? Don't we all get to a point sometimes where we think we're better than we really are? We compare ourselves to others. We look around at what others are doing, and we kind of pat ourselves on the back and think, oh, I'm doing a good job. But how many of us have humbled ourselves to the point that we are allowing God to do a work in us, and we've humbled ourselves? We all tend to think we're better than we actually are. We even tend to teach that to our kids, sometimes without even realizing it. My dad can beat up your dad. My mom does more than your mom. Now, where do you think they get that? They hear the talk at home. If we're not careful, we get into the wrong type of attitude. We need to get this lesson right. We're to be servants. Servants. Now, understand this. As we go through this, there's a difference between being a self-righteous servant and a true servant of Jesus Christ. A self-righteous service takes human effort. It comes by human effort. It expends time and energy in devising ways to serve, trying to think it all up and plan it all out and get it all together. True service comes from a relationship with God. It's an imitation of Jesus Christ in our lives, and it works almost like a second nature to us. When we become true servants of Jesus Christ, service becomes normal. Normal. Why? Because we're not listening to what the world says. We're listening to what Jesus says. Our hearts are not full of what the world is teaching. Our hearts are full of Jesus. And so the whole attitude changes. Self-righteous service wants external rewards. It needs to be seen by others. But true service cares nothing about acclaim, but only to make a difference in someone else's life. Self-righteous service is concerned about results, including how the served are going to respond to the service. Well, they didn't even say thank you. They didn't even acknowledge what we did at all. They didn't even notice. Doesn't matter. True service only cares to serve and allow God to work out the results. Self-righteous service chooses whom it will serve, based on those potential results. True service serves anyone with a need. We open our eyes, we look around. We see the need, we meet the need. We're not worried about people responding. We're not worried about people seeing. We're just serving Jesus Christ. Self-righteous service is temporary. We turn it on, we turn it off. True service is a lifestyle. We live it every day, all day. We model it with our spouses, with our children, with our grandchildren, with our parents, whoever it may be, our friends, our co-workers. We model service to the world. Let's look over in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. These are also familiar verses to us. He says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." What a beautiful scripture that is. What a wonderful picture that is of who God is. And what God wants us to do, Paul teaches us that we are to take on the mind of Christ. We are to take on the mind of Christ. Now, that's only going to happen when we allow Him to fill our hearts with who He is. And we allow Him to work in us. We take the Word of God. And we study it, we learn it, we read it, we allow this Word to be a part of who we are every day. We realize we can't live as Christians without the Word of God. And we need more than what we get on Sunday. We need this every day in our lives as God works in us. What do we see here that Jesus did? He became a bondservant. He emptied himself. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. He is God the Son, God in the flesh. He was God in heaven who came to this earth in the form of a man with a purpose of sacrificing himself for our sin. Jesus gives up his role in heaven to come to this earth for us. He already had equality with God. We see him express that as we study through the book of John. He is one with God. He is God. But he knew our great need. And because of his love for us, he emptied himself out and came to this earth to die. He came to this earth because he loves you and because he loves me, and we needed hope, and he is our hope. He loves us today and cares about who we are. He emptied himself. Not only did he empty himself, the Bible teaches us that Jesus humbled himself. Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There is no one greater. No one. But he humbled himself to the cross, becoming a servant to show his love for us. He became the servant. He became a man in the flesh in every way. He's just like you and me, except this. He never sinned. I have, and I will. You have, and you will. Jesus has never sinned. Never once. His body was a human body with flesh and blood and bones and nerves. He had emotions just like we do. He's just able to control his a lot better than we are. He controlled his perfectly. He humbled himself to the cross. No one made him go. Jesus said these words, "I lay down my life willingly. No man takes my life from me," because no one had the power to. Jesus came to die. He came to give service to you and to me. He came to die, and he emptied himself out. He humbled himself, and he became obedient. And because of the obedience of God the Son, God the Father has highly exalted him. The one who had stooped so low was now lifted high. Jesus has ascended to heaven and taken his rightful place. He was willing to humble himself and go to the cross, taking on the sin of the world. Now he's glorified and lifted up. He was placed in the grave. He rose from the grave, and he ascended to heaven. Folks, we owe everything to Jesus. Everything. He gave his all for us, laid it all down. Jesus has the name which is above every name. At his name, Satan trembles and must flee, the Bible teaches. His name is powerful and he is Lord. And the Bible teaches that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now that's wonderful, but for some it's tragic. Because their knee's going to bow on that judgment day before God, acknowledging who he is. And he's going to say, "I'm sorry, I never knew you. I'm sorry, I never knew you. You never accepted me. You never opened your life to me." I pray that's not anyone in this room right now, but if you don't know Jesus today, I pray that this is a day that you'll open your heart to Jesus and accept the love and forgiveness that he has offered to you. Just like he has every other person here. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Jesus desires a relationship with you. He humbled himself and emptied himself to come to this earth as a servant. Jesus came as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to serve. And he desires for us to serve as well. Look over in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 is the suffering servant. This is Isaiah talking about Jesus, hundreds of years before Jesus. "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due, he gave, his grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressions. Thank God we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who's willing to suffer and bleed and die for us. What we see in this is Jesus did exactly what he came to do. The Old Testament gives the prophecies of his coming to serve us in his death. He comes, he makes proclamation of why he has come. He has come to die for our sins. He did exactly what he came to do. But he was not defeated in his death. He was placed in a grave. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He ascended into the heavens and into heaven, and we have the promise of his return one day. We have the promise that he's going to call his children home. I hope you know him today. He did exactly what he came to do. But not only was he doing this, he was setting an example for us. He was setting the example. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came to set the example. The example of service. The example of putting others before ourselves. The example of ministering and meeting needs and caring for people and meeting people where they are and helping them to come to a relationship with him. Jesus set the example. Folks, we must be willing to serve. If we're going to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, we must be willing to be servants, to serve others. We've got to make a choice. Am I going to be a man or a woman that listens to what the world teaches and please the world? Or am I going to be a man or woman that does what God teaches and strive to please Him? See, the problem in too many churches today is too many churches resemble the world. And we're not to resemble the world. We look different from the world. Why was Jesus rejected? Because he didn't bring into what they wanted. He didn't look like the world. He didn't act like the world. He didn't teach like the world. Why were his disciples rejected? Because they followed Jesus' teaching. And they chose to please God instead of man. And that's a question that we're really asking here. Who am I going to please? Who am I going to look to in my service? Are you willing to serve today? Do you feel too good to serve others? Jesus humbled himself to the form of a man to serve you. Guys, we serve others. We serve Jesus by serving others, by meeting needs, by sacrificing self. And that may not be the message that y'all wanted to hear today. But if we're going to be the men and women of God that He wants us to be, we've got to begin to get real about what the Word of God says. And allow that Word to be real in our hearts. We're here to be serving each other. Not for a pat on the back. Not for some type of reward. But to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we're going to open up this altar. I invite you to come today. Maybe this morning's a good time to let go of some pride. Maybe this morning's a time to let go of some sin. Or whatever it is that holds us back. It keeps us from being the servants that God wants us to be. I invite you to come today. If there's someone here that does not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you don't have the assurance that you're going to heaven, if you're sitting there wondering today, I invite you to come. Let us show you in the Word of God. Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He wants to be in your life and in your heart. He wants you to have the assurance of eternal life with Him. John writes in 1 John, I'm writing these things so you can know. So you can know. You don't have to sit around and wonder. You can know. And there's a peace in that and a strength in that that allows us to serve the way God wants us to serve. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you today, and we are a prideful people, and we ask your forgiveness for that. We like a pat on the back. We like people to notice what we do. And God, I pray that you would humble our hearts and help us to empty ourselves of those things that keep us from being the men and women of God that you would have us to be. For Father, in our hearts, we truly long to please you. And we realize that to please you, from what you have taught us this morning, is to serve. To serve each other. To go a little bit further than what we think we need to go. And just to allow you to do what you need to do. Father, you are God. We are not. We come today to realize that it's not about me.